This is a special presentation by the Radio Players on WSIU.
What's more captivating than a tale of international espionage? The backbiting, backstabbing, bloodletting, all to possess some item of untold value. Diamonds are always a juicy enticement to all kinds from all nations, bound by the common bond of greed. Into just such a hurly-burly, Radio Players is about to plunge you. Keep your eyes peeled, watch your back as you go. Above all, trust no one. Let's meet the cast of Deep Freeze.
I'm Peg Falcone. I'll be the narrator.
I'm Ryan Patrick. I'll be Hugh.
I'm Elizabeth Donahue. I'll be Jade and Clara.
I'm Aubriana Noelle Rathundi Olson, and I will be Stacy.
I'm Kevin Rathundi, and I'll be Otto and Captain Starnes.
I'm Steve Falcone. I'll be Lou.
I'm Christopher Rathundi, and I'll be Colonel Caspar.
Deep Freeze, a radio play by Steve Falcone. Scene 1. Hugh waited patiently for the moment to arrive. Why not? He'd waited such a very long time already. What was a few more minutes? Hugh sniffed and broke into a grin. He'd know that fragrance anywhere. She always wore a touch too much, but he loved to take it in. Now to complete the deed. Jade, rounding corner.
Whoa, imagine finding you here. Love to chat, but I've got an important conference to attend.
Can't it wait?
Afraid not, love. Not even for you.
Hugh smiles, raises Freeze gun.
It can wait.
Freezes Jade.
You complete the order, my dear. Now to deliver the goods.
Scene 2. Inside an industrial-sized deep freezer, a hot topic is in progress between Hugh and his sometime girlfriend, Stacy. What's one more, Tiff? Stacy shakes her head.
This is the dumbest in a long list of dumb ideas. You deserve a prize. And me without my polo mallet.
Aren't you ever the clever one? You could never have amassed this group.
Nor would I want to. For the frost in here, this is the hottest gathering of spooks I've ever seen. Or no longer seen. How long do you think it'll take the feds to pick up on your trail?
Not before I auction off these highly valuable properties to the highest bidder.
Get serious!
Is $2 million serious enough for you? That's what I've been offered for Clara alone.
Who'd ever pony up that kind of bank for Miss Klemhoff?
I'm not at liberty to reveal my sources, but trust me, it's a major player.
I wouldn't trust you to spoon soup. Who's going to control these agents?
Not my problem. I deliver the goods, collect my fee, I'm done.
I bet you are. With a bullet to the head, most likely.
There you go, finding the dark side of the matter. How can you always be so negative?
I'm a realist, my dear. I see the world as it is. You insist on those rose-colored glasses to view life. Know what that'll get you? Disappointed every time.
Pulls pistol.
Bet you never saw this coming.
Hugh smiles.
You're kidding.
You're kidding. I'm serious. Dead serious, if need be.
You would actually sell me off to the highest bidder?
Don't make me laugh. Too late. The way you've always overrated yourself. No, my dear. Your lot is here with the other stiffs. Everyone knows that Clara Klemhoff is the spy every nation wishes it had. She's the one who goes to market. My payday.
Summons with hand.
Freeze machine, please.
You're kidding.
A mistake you keep making. Let's remedy that.
She shoots Hugh in the arm.
Ow!
Hugh drops the machine. Stacy picks it up and zaps Hugh. Stacy opens the locker door.
Otto!
A hulking brute stoops to get through the door. She points to Clara.
Up, Otto, up!
He lifts Clara.
Careful with her, Otto! That's valuable property.
Kisses semi-frozen Hugh's nose.
Stick around, love. There's more to come.
Scene 3. A foghorn sound announces that we are dockside. Not another sound emerges in the still night, where even the sea seems doped and dreamy. A huge figure looms out of the dark, a large package over his shoulder. It's Otto, who moves at the command of a smaller figure directing his steps. Stacy, of course, delivering this most valuable prize to some highest bidder. Transported by sea, we may safely assume. Otto lays his burden gently on the dock as Stacy scopes out the situation. Stacy takes up the whistle around her neck and gives a shrill whistle, returned in full measure from port side of the ship.
There's my contact. You can leave me now, Otto. Well done.
I don't like leaving you here alone.
I'm a big girl and a pro. I'll be fine. My contact will haul her from here. Not that I care if she's dumped in the drink once I'm paid. Well done, Otto. I await my contact's arrival, and it's a desert island getaway for me. Far from any and everything. Palm trees, sea breeze, and wine coolers.
Otto nods.
If you're feeling okay, I'll be on my way as soon as I get paid.
Holds out his hand.
Well, you've earned it.
Pulls out pistol with silencer. Plugs Otto.
Paid in full for each dirty deed you've done. Now, how the hell to get him into the water?
As Stacy struggles to tug Otto toward the water, Clara stirs, slowly coming back to consciousness. With effort, the super spy regains her footing and slips behind Stacy to gather up the freeze machine with which she takes aim.
Don't you know by now that Klimov cannot be defeated? Smile.
Zaps Stacy into a cool popsicle.
Your face will stick that way. Now to pass you off as me. Laughable, of course. The key is that I'm so seldom seen by anyone.
The whistle blows. Clara picks whistle from around Stacy's neck. Not easy in its frozen state, but no match for the iron claws of Klemhoff, who blows and awaits the riches she deems so rightly hers. Scene 4. Smugly awaiting her chance to pull the old switcheroo, Clara ignores the inert Otto, shot and sprawled across the deck. Overlooked as well is the fortitude of this hulking form, who'd been shot numerous times and still carries slugs around with him. He slowly rises with his new hunks of lead. What's a couple more? Otto grabs Clara by the throat.
Got my hands on you at last, old girl!
Clara kicks and grunts.
No escaping this time, you slippery critter! Breathe easy! It'll all be over soon!
A shadowy figure appears on the deck of the ship and fires a bullseye to the heart of Otto, who drops Clara and slumps once again to the dock. There seems little hope he will rise again. As the spy lies coughing a few feet from Otto, the mysterious shooter descends the gangplank to Klemhoff and offers her a flask.
Please to drink. It will warm you.
What is it?
Baijiu.
Vu?
Is national refreshment.
I can't breathe.
Heat will cleanse you. His honor to be of service to one so esteemed.
Vu know me?
Who does not know Clara Klemhoff? Me, I do. I do not. I do. Please to drink more.
Enough. Duncan, no more.
Lou bows.
Who are you?
Lou.
Vu?
Lou is how I am called. I know you.
So I see. Damn good thing. Danke schön.
Most delighted to learn amazing Clara Klemhoff to join our agency. Surprised to find her being throttled by henchmen. Please to explain.
I'm not sure at all that I can.
Grabs Lou's flask, swigs.
I was shanghaied in Mumbai or mugged in Shanghai before I knew it. I was frozen in place or thrown in a frozen place.
Please to seek speaking, Comrade Klemhoff. May I suggest you are delirious?
Clara takes a big swig.
You certainly may not. I am as ever incomplete.
Swigs again.
I'm in complete command of my faculties.
Hands flask back to Lou.
I wish only to know why I am here.
Lu bows.
Most honored to announce you have been chosen top agent to lead Operation Digestion.
This is no good for me. I am a spy. My work is surveillance.
Must beg to disagree. We know what you can be capable of. This is not intelligence. None will be required. You're simply to carry package on voyage. Oh, we expect operatives. Let them come. They will go mad trying to guess your mission, but never will.
What is my mission?
To carry industrial diamonds to contact in Leipzig.
Why Germany? I'm more likely to be noticed there.
Mutual ground for our clients in Berlin. They, too, fear exposure.
What am I, called Schnitzel?
Pleased to receive profound assurance of your complete safety.
So you keep saying. Perhaps you had better explain my duties in detail.
Procedure is quite simple.
This a word I do not like.
Minimally invasive, I am assured.
I am not.
Tiny snips and packages inserted. You will feel nothing.
Retrieval of this package.
Lou snips fingers.
One more snip. So small, you will...
Feel nothing. I will feel nothing because I will not have my body sliced open for what?
$2 million American. Your fee on delivery of package.
Where would we make this incision?
Scene 5. That well-known sound assures us that the USS Starfire has left the dock, bound for Leipzig. An elegant vessel by any standard. Clara Klemhoff, in a striking evening gown, accepts a champagne flute from a handsome server's tray and whirls her way into the orchestra in the lounge. She even hums a bit as she goes. A stately gentleman in a dinner jacket bows, kisses her free hand, and asks,
May I have this dance?
Did I mention the colonel's eye patch? It gives Clara pause momentarily. She graces the gentleman with her most charming smile, deftly downs her drink, sets the glass on the tray of a passing server, and says,
Delighted.
Off they swirl at an elegant pace, two hoofers who've clearly done this before.
You dance divinely, my dear.
And you, sir, have not stepped on my feet one time.
Well, such delicate feet would be a shame to trot upon. You are no doubt surprised at the agility of a one-eyed man.
Not at all.
Alas, dear lady, your eyes tell another tale. Would you like to know how I lost this eye?
No, only if you are comfortable.
I was knee-deep in hostile fire. Boer Wars, Battle of Majuba Hill. Deuced bloody business. It came at us from all sides at once, or so it seemed. I caught a lance...
Oh.
Best leave the tale lie.
Perhaps that is best. You find humor in this tragedy.
Well, only in my disingenuousness in the matter. This is the version I so often tell eager listeners, particularly of the gentle gender. In truth, I lost my eye popping a bottle of Dom. Damn fine vintage. Caught me flush in the orb. Plopped into the flute. What to do? Took it all down in a swallow. Saved the eye, in a way.
What kind of savage are you?
Colonel Caspar clicks his heels.
British, of course.
Of course.
Clara stomps off.
I have felt you as closely as civility permits, and feel nothing. Still some doubt lingers. We shall meet again, mysterious one. Count on it.
Scene 6. Unruly seas toss the liner in rough clutches, till most aboard have taken to their staterooms in various hues of green. A lone figure leans on the rail, seemingly impervious to the effects of the maelstrom whipping about. Clara's keenly honed instincts would normally have heard the figure lurking in the dark, but the howl of the wind crashing waves on deck prohibited even the super spy's radar from detecting any danger, aside from the imminent peril of being washed overboard. Heels dug firmly in, Clara held her ground. Little she could do, however, to avoid a dart that soared through the storm into Damon Klemhoff's neck. The hit left her crumpled on the deck. Easy pickings for a hooded man who moved smoothly through the treacherous footing to Clara's side. Feeling her neck for a pulse, he pulled out a set of medical tools and prepared to apply a scalpel to the fallen woman. A man who clearly knew what he was after. He did not hear the large form in the shadows who took aim to deliver a round from his silencer right through the back of the head. One more body hit the deck. Lou then pulled a solvent from his pocket and pressed it to the spy's nose. Clara, coming to, swings a chop into Lou's chest, which bounces harmlessly off.
Lou, you?
Must observe you swing mean chop, lady. Please to calm, honorable self. You are in no danger.
A favorite phrase of yours, I have to notice. What do you call this corp beside me?
Gustavo Stavros, a menial of forces opposing our mission. Foolish attempt, really, to disrupt smooth voyage.
Lifts corpse in massive fists and dumps it overboard.
A dart in my neck.
Is not poisonous. A potion to put you to sleep.
Will I need an antidote?
Rest is all you need. An abundant amount. You look in no condition to walk. Please, to allow me to carry you.
Well, I never.
Perhaps this is first time? Dart should leave you woozy. Not best time to cross most slippery of decks.
Which you seem to have little trouble crossing.
Lou bows.
Honored comrade, I have received no dart to neck. I do have proper attire for weather.
He lifts his leg to show sailor boots.
Lou boots.
Lou, you do seem a man prepared for any eventuality. What the hell? Take me to the stateroom.
Lou lifts her.
Yours or mine?
Surprise me.
Scene 7. Clara sits up in bed as Lou inspects her stitchwork where the package was implanted.
This has never been an erogenous zone before, of interest to my gentleman callers.
May I say you are an abundance of beautiful parts.
But never one in a million or so?
Stitching is precisely intact. No damage has occurred.
This dart in the neck was no fun.
Unpardonable on my part to overlook your discomfort.
You are pardoned. You sweet man. You've kept a close eye on me. For that...
Kisses his cheek.
I am most thankful. I kick myself for not sensibly assessing the danger of this mission was bound to entail.
I share regrets concerning this assignment. Must blame myself for underestimating opposition we face in transport of package.
Nine. You mustn't blame yourself, Lou. I took on this assignment without both eyes open to the perils of such a mission. Consider that the dart was not poisonous. These people do not seek to kill. They strive to avoid taking life. We must take consolation from such non-lethal practices. Clearly, they mean us no harm.
The stateroom is a mass of smoke and flame where little can be seen. There is no sound from survivors. Scene 8. Security swarms the cabin with fire extinguishers, dousing the flames. The massive frame of Lou lies draped over Clara, dead. Clara, unharmed. Captain Starnes is now present, alarmed at such odd activity on his vessel.
And you've no idea who the perpetrator of this assault might be?
None, Captain. Such a shock it has been.
Mr. Lou?
We were lovers, as well as business associates. Export-import is our trade. You will excuse me, Captain. It's all so...
Blows into a hanky.
Such a terrible shock. I'll leave you in peace, just as soon as our ship's doctor checks you over.
That won't be necessary.
Oh, I'm afraid it will. Both company policy and maritime law insist. We must be thorough. I suspect that this is but the beginning of a rather lengthy inquiry. We'll do our best to hold off until you recovered yourself. However, we do have a terrorist on board and don't even know what he or she wants. The good news is that our company doctor on board is renowned in his field and has been supplied with the very latest in technology. Why, he can offer a full body scan right here on board. I can only imagine what a comfort that will be to you.
Every inch of mine person will be seen?
All very private and simple business. Who knows? You might even doze off during the exam.
Clara shakes her head.
No, I won't.
I can assure you there will be no discomfort to you in the least.
How comforting.
Captain Starnes begins to exit. Stops.
Oh, I'll have to see your company records. There's no hurry. Tomorrow will be fine. A long rest is what you need at the moment.
I quite agree, Captain.
Scene 9. Lou's great frame is shrouded and shackled with weights to send him eternally to Davy Jones' locker. With no others familiar with the deceased, eulogy duties fall to Clara.
They stand at this rail gazing into the deep blue world unknown to us. Here we commend this large man with a big heart. I will miss him. He took such good care of me. Gave his life for me. A wonderful companion. We pray he finds a rest in a better place.
Taps plays softly as Lou slides to eternity with a sploosh. Scene 10. Clara sits lost in thought as the door to her stateroom, securely locked by her personally, swings slowly open. Clara, Luger aimed.
Zvi quickly or never again.
Colonel Kaspar, hands raised.
I come in peace, Frau Klemhoff.
Knit your own key.
Colonel Kaspar holds up the master key.
Tools of the trade. Do pardon my untimely entry into your boudoir.
I do not pardon your passing of my threshold. Leave immediately or face the consequences of forced entry.
Cock's pistol.
I do fear we got off to a rather shabby start.
That is one word for it.
Shameful, really, my behavior. I truly do not know what gets into me sometimes.
One of your eyes, as so the story goes.
That was a lie. You probably knew.
I must admit, I've not heard such schoolboy drivel in many years.
I've been informed by legions of both genders how sophomoric my antics can be.
I would have to rate them froshmen. None of this act I am buying, Colonel. And none of which explains the rude intrusion.
Well, cards on the table, Fräulein. We both know the value of that package you carry in you. 50 mil easy street value.
This is your business? In what way?
Come on, Clara. You've already seen Lou cut down. This deal is blown up. It's every player on his or her own.
We have no business, you and I. You must depart at once.
Hear me out is all I ask.
I was certain I had.
Your incisions are easily undone. A few snips and the ice is in our hands. Any fool could do it. Got the tools in my cabin. Won't feel a thing. Say the word.
Depart at once.
A 60-40 split to you, love. Only fair. You're doing the heavy lifting and all. What do you say?
Get out of mine stateroom.
You must be aware that I'm not the only one who knows your packing, so to speak. It seems to me you could use an ally. This tub is crawling with the wrong sort. 75-25... My final offer.
Yes, it is.
Fires two shots into the colonel's chest. Turns, faces mirror, speaks in a dull voice.
I had no choice. He was in a rage, broke in and came at me with blood in his eyes. What else could I do?
Scene 11. One way or another, the end was near. A climax all too clear to Clara as she patiently cleaned her pistol. Readiness above all was a lesson she had learned long ago. Prepared for whatever befell her was the only path to survival. She gathered her wits in an effort to determine who she should fear, where she could run. This vessel was no longer a safe place for her. An alternative must be found, and quickly. Where? How? Large questions loomed before her with no answers in sight. When in doubt, move, was a mantra she lived by. The silencer on her Luger had bought her time. Not a lot, but some. Duffel kit over her shoulder, pistol in hand, she started down the corridor, the ship now steady after the storm. Was that a shadow glinting ahead? The shot whizzed past her head as Clara instinctively tucked and rolled, then came up returning fire. The firefight with silencers sounded like angry bumblebees at one another. These stakes were more deadly. A voice rings from the shadow.
Give it up, Clara. There's nowhere to turn for escape.
Captain Starnes? That is you?
At your service, if you play ball.
I must be slipping. You never appeared on my radar. Is the whole crew in on this caper?
Even the wealth you carry would be split too thin among so many. Let's divvy this haul up between us. Half for you, half for me. What do you say, Miss Klemhoff?
Clara fires around.
Well, not the response I was hoping for. You leave me no choice but to declare you a spy gone rogue. At this point, people will believe just about any word of your doings. You're an amazing lady. Unfortunate ending for you, but can't be helped sometimes. Why not make it easy on yourself? Throw out your gun and just step into the corridor. It will be all over in an instant, I promise. I'm an excellent shot, if I do say so.
Clara fires a shot in answer as the captain chuckles.
Gutsy to the finish, eh, Fraulein? It's almost better this way. An operative of your distinction should die with her boots on. So be it. If I must chase you down, well, that is...
A shot interrupts Captain Starnes' disquisition as he lies puddled in his own blood in the corridor. Hughes stands over him, shaking his head.
Some guys don't know when to shut up. Major blunder in this business.
Hugh!
Hugh smiles.
I've thawed. Long story for another time, with glasses in hand. You all right?
Hard to say. It has been a merry-go-round of violence.
Sounds fun. I've got a world-class speedboat tied on, ready to zip us to Leipzig. Doctor of prominence, George P. Schuller, waiting to snip-snip you free of your burden.
Oh, what a relief that will be. This tiny package grows weightier by the day.
I can only imagine. What say? Shall we zoom you across the waves to calmer waters?
Danke 1,000 times over. To think I was told this would be a non-invasive surgery.
You've been listening to a special presentation of the original radio drama Deep Freeze, written by Steve Falcone and performed by the Radio Players. This production was recorded live in the WSIU studios. Post-production sound designed by Hanice Coopwood. This is WSIU, your home for the arts.